Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And on this week's show, we'll be talking about some new portable Braille displays that Nancy and I saw recently at an AER conference. And in next week's show, we'll be following up with a few more displays that didn't quite fit into this show.
In particular, this week, we'll be talking with vendors from HIMSS and APH, and next week with vendors from Freedom Scientific and Aroga. And these are really exciting products. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is Braille literacy is important. These portable Braille displays are fantastic, but if you can't read Braille, they're not going to do you any good. What we have here is some comments from Victor Tsaran, who you may remember from earlier shows that we've done on other topics, in particular number 1151 on Sonar and the JSonar project, and show 1211 about highlights from the CSUN show. Victor is also going to be in an upcoming show, number 1240, talking about using social media. So here's Victor Tsaran.
You learned Braille when you were young?
Yeah, lucky for me, I actually learned Braille and still use it quite a bit. In fact, Braille is one thing that helps me multitask. Because, you know, sighted people can multitask by listening and looking at things, but we can actually multitask by reading Braille and listening at the same time. Braille is an awesome thing, and in my view, I hope that every blind child and adult has a chance to learn Braille. At school, when I was growing up, we always had, even when I was taking geometry, we had all kinds of 3D models and we had all kinds of shapes to play with. So I actually grew up with a pretty good sense of space and location and distance. And, you know, even studying chemistry, we had the same situation. We could feel shapes of different molecules. And so I grew up surrounded by Braille and shapes. So that was pretty cool, actually.
Cool.
And I use Braille whenever I can, especially, you know, with the iPhone. I use Braille display. Again, it helps to be quiet when you have to be or when you cannot listen to your screen reader. So Braille is a big part of my life as well. You can use Bluetooth and you can hook it up. And Apple has done a great job of using Braille. You just basically pair it with the iPhone and then VoiceOver does the rest.
And in this show and the next, we'll see some of those little portable Braille displays, some of which might fit in your pocket, which is kind of cool.
And if you think learning Braille is too hard for you, think about this. Victor grew up in the Ukraine, so he learned Braille in one alphabet. Then he came to the United States, he learned Braille in another alphabet. And as you'll hear in a minute, he spent some time in Vietnam where Braille comes in a completely different alphabet. So it can be done, and it can be very useful for many things. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking more about Braille literacy. Here's Victor again. In the United States, we take the availability of high-tech devices and in particular Braille displays for granted. Victor spent some time in Vietnam where the situation is quite different.
I think definitely we're pretty spoiled here with access to information. I have seen though some interesting things. What these guys can do with low resources is just as amazing. I remember in Vietnam, we've seen teachers were using rice to teach Braille to their kids. Our Braille display cost a lot of money, and obviously Braille is still pretty expensive, even here in the West. You know, it's not a cheap undertaking, but sometimes with low resources, you can do a lot of things without having to resort to high-cost technologies. I mean, you know, imagine like using rice to teach Braille. That's pretty kind of cool, right?
That's pretty imaginative. That's pretty good, yeah.
The hurdles to even make these things work, it just takes dedicated people over there and takes hours of planning and kind of thinking, well, what else can I do for that child to teach them this or that concept? But sometimes the ideas they come up with are just as amazing as the technology we have here.
Well, I like the idea of rice as an affordable, refreshable Braille display.
Well, yeah, that's probably taken a bit too far, but yeah.
But people are becoming concerned, even in this country these days, about Braille literacy and the fact that not many young people are learning Braille these days.
We got some information by Googling Braille literacy and found a very long discussion of it on the National Braille Press's website at www.nbp.org.
And you found some interesting statistics, didn't you?
Well, among other things, they say only 20% of blind school children are learning Braille these days. And of course, part of that is because they're mainstreaming most of the kids, and it's harder for them to get Braille instruction, although many school districts and families manage to find a way to do that.
Funny you should talk about mainstreaming, because when I was born in the 50s, they didn't mainstream kids who were blind. And even though I had reasonable vision at the time, I could hold a print book maybe about 6 inches from my face and read the book, I still went to a school for the blind because I couldn't see the blackboard in a regular school, even from the first row. So I learned Braille as a child, and it was kind of interesting. I didn't really use it for 20 years, because after a few years, I went to a public school, and I mostly used print. But then later on in life, before I went to graduate school, I went blind, and all of a sudden, I needed to do something about that. And fortunately, I was able to rekindle my Braille skills, and it wasn't so hard to come up the learning curve.
Sort of like riding a bicycle.
Well, right. I mean, it took a little bit of training, and of course, I'm not as good at Braille as many people are, but it was functional enough to get me through the things I needed to get through at the time. When you think about trying to learn things when you're older, if you're 40, 50, 60, that's not the time to learn Braille. The best time to learn those things is when you're young. So it's kind of a shame that only 1 in 5 blind children in this country are learning Braille.
In further discussion on their website, the National Braille Press says, and I quote, because I think this is really important, "To succeed in school, work, and life, blind people need the opportunities that literacy provides. Research has shown a correlation between a blind person's learning of Braille and lifetime achievement. One study shows that only 30% of blind people are employed, but of this group, 90% are Braille readers." Now, of course, if you lose your vision after you retire, this isn't maybe so relevant to your particular situation, but just to show the power of being able to read and write independently in Braille, I think that's huge.
But I think also Braille provides another option. I mean, certainly these days it's a little bit easier to acquire information from computers and iPhones. All these devices talk, they're very accessible these days, and you might say, you know, who needs Braille? But in fact, it provides just more options and flexibility. I like to use Braille when I'm programming computers. I can see the layout of things in Word documents and text documents. I find it handy for writing little notes, and I don't have to refer to some talking device. And as Vic pointed out in the beginning, it's also a way for blind people to multitask and not make a lot of noise when they're taking notes or reading things, giving a presentation, for example.
And you can always check your Braille watch to see how much longer this boring presentation is going to go on without anybody knowing you're being impatient.
Oh, that's one of my favorites, is checking the time at meetings under the table or behind my back.
And in addition, the availability of e-Braille, or electronic Braille, or refreshable Braille displays, enables people to surf the web, write text messages, do email, download books, and do everything that their sighted peers can do.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is portable Braille displays and keyboards. We mentioned in show number 1236 that we recently took a vacation to Seattle, and while we were there, coincidentally, the 2012 International Conference of the Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired was taking place just a few miles from our hotel. Well, in show number 1236, we talked about some other devices that we saw at the conference exhibition hall, including CCTVs, specialty corrective lenses, and accessible laboratory equipment. Well, in today's show and next week's show, we'll be talking about the portable Braille displays that we saw at the AER conference.
And let me say, if you ever get a chance to go to one of these conferences or conventions where you can see the exhibitors displaying their products all at once, it is really kind of fun. First of all, you can compare these products, you can hold them in your hands, and it's a lot different than hearing a description of it or reading some description of these devices. So that can be a lot of fun. We enjoyed it.
Which begs the question, why should you be listening to us talk about them? But keep listening, because among other things, we actually will be playing the interaction between the vendor and Pete looking at these devices, and it's almost like being there, although not with your own hands. The first portable Braille display we'll be talking about is from HIMS.
Can you start by introducing yourself and a little bit about your company?
Sure can. My name is Scott Hegley, and I work for HIMS, Inc. HIMS is a company based in Austin, Texas. We have had a U.S. presence now, at least with the office in Austin, for almost 2 years.
So is HIMS an acronym, or does that mean something?
Yeah, it stands for Human Information Management Systems.
HIMS was showing their new on-hand 18-cell portable Braille display, but we're going to start with some of their larger units.
Some of these larger units are full note-takers in addition.
We have note-taking devices. They used to be called Braille Sense. We just released a couple new products, and the new name is U2, as in letter U, number 2. And we released the U2 Braille, which is a 32-cell Braille display, note-taker, built-in LCD display with a lot of really exciting features, most notably a faster processor and more RAM and definitely more internal memory. So we are very excited about that. So the Braille Sense U2, or just the U2 Braille, has been released. We also are about to release something called the U2 QWERTY. And the U2 QWERTY is a device. I'm holding it up. I don't know why,
because I'm on audio.
Just
leave it there, and then Pete can see it, too.
Okay.
Let's see.
It's right here. That is a new U2 QWERTY.
Oh, nice.
And what's interesting about that is it's a normal keyboard. Mm-hmm. So as you look at it, Pete, you'll notice that, at least for me, it reminds me of a netbook.
Yes.
Because it's got those nice, wide keys that give you a lot of room to type and room to do other functions on the device.
So if you're used to a PC and working that way, this make it very easy.
It definitely does. And it has a built-in 32-cell Braille display. So whether you want to go with Braille for your input or a regular keyboard for your input, we've got both choices taken care of. And you probably know this, Pete, but in all of our products, we provide free software upgrades. So once the product has been purchased, there is no requirement for software purchasing. It's part of the package that you have. We're very proud of our keyboards, too. They're extremely quiet.
So these Braille displays, are they connected via USB or Bluetooth, or how are they connected?
Well, these particular units, the two that we've talked about, are standalone units because the Braille is built right into the front of the unit. So it is a true note-taker in the note-taking sense. We do, however, have the ability to connect to an iOS device, for example, like an iPhone or an iPad. So if you're note-taking 1 minute and then you want to connect to your iPad the next, you can do so. And that's done by Bluetooth. These devices also will work as Braille output devices for your computer. So if you're using JAWS or WindowEyes or System Access or NVDA or HAL or Supernova, or even the Code Factory products, these will work as output devices for them.
Do all of your products have speech built into them?
And you mentioned speech. Let me show you a product that does not have speech. This is our new 40-cell Braille display. It's called a Braille Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it is geared as a Braille display first, and as a note-taker as a backup. In other words, it has some limited note-taking capabilities in the unit. So that is very exciting. We just released it. The price on that is $29.95, so it's under $3,000. And it allows you to show everything that you're working on in Braille on your computer, or if it's on your iOS device, and you can also Braille into your iOS device. But if you want to, you can just pop an SD card into the side of it and do your own note-taking by itself without having to connect to any other device.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an exciting product.
So those devices, although portable, are a little bit larger and you may not want to carry them around so readily. Scott did go on to show us some really portable devices that I thought were pretty nifty.
You also have this smaller device that has, I don't know, 15 cells?
Yeah, it's an 18. Yeah, 18. Very good. It's an 18 cell, and that is called the On Hand. And the On Hand is, and you're taking a look at it now, Pete.
That is
our tiny note taker. It has all the features of our new U2s. It has the same new 7.0 software release. It has 18 cells of Braille. It even has the ability to plug in a display if a teacher, for example, wants to see what their student is working on.
So you use the 8-dot Braille also?
Yeah, really the 7 and 8 are used as a cursor. So as you are reading a book or a magazine or your document that you're working on, you can look and find the cursor underneath the letter, for example, that you're working on currently.
And I noticed there are buttons on the side of the Braille display on the left and right. What are those?
Those are panning buttons. And by default, the two on the left will move you either left or right by display length. The two on the right will do the same thing. The top one will move you to the left. The bottom one will move you to the right. They're configurable, though, so you may want to change, let's say, the left set to move by paragraph or by sentence. So they can be changed to move either left or right or up and down through the document by line, sentence, or paragraph.
And then it looks like there are cursor routing buttons above the Braille display?
You bet. And those are good because that allows someone to drop the cursor wherever they need it to be to make a correction. If there's something wrong with your document and you need to change it, you can just use the cursor button and just move it right to the spot where you need to do that.
And this looks like it's quite portable also. This is
especially,
almost fit in your pocket.
Let's see if it fits in your pocket, Pete.
Let's see. Okay.
It almost does.
Maybe those cargo shorts.
I'll tell you what. If you take the display or the case off,
all right,
then you're in good shape. That'll do it.
But it looks like it will, yeah.
It is very portable. And it's a nice device for portability and a nice device if you want to connect it to your iPhone. Or maybe you just want to note-take. You just want to write things down, or you want to surf the web, whatever. And just so you know, Pete, we released 7.0 of our software for our Braille and voice products, and we've added things like Google Maps, so you can put together a route. You need Wi-Fi to do it, or what's called a 3G modem or 4G modem from your wireless carrier. But you can actually look at maps, and you can do those right through the software on any of our products, whether it's the U2 or the On Hand, or even our voice-only product called the VoiceSense.
Oh, got it. So you don't even need your iPhone, then. You just directly connect to the Internet.
And if you want to use the iPhone, you can, or just connect directly to the Internet. That's right. So just another little feature, we also have introduced a direct Bookshare app. Instead of going to Bookshare.org, you can just launch the app and you can look up books or magazines. Press enter on them, they'll download, they'll unzip, and they'll start reading for you. So it's a nice way to quickly get into whatever you are trying to get into in Bookshare.
Great. Do these little devices have speech built into them also, or are they just Braille?
The units that we've been looking at and talking about are speech and Braille, and they use what's called Eloquence. And Eloquence is very common, very popular in screen readers like JAWS and Window Eyes. So you can either listen, you can read in Braille, or if you have vision, you can watch the screen. It's a very small screen, but there's three ways to get to the information on your note takers.
Wow, great.
In addition to Braille displays, they were also showing a handheld reading device.
We also have the BookSense.
You know, I was going to say, I hadn't heard about the BookSense in a while. You used to distribute it through
GW Micro,
right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Are you still making the BookSense?
We sure are. Okay. And actually, I have one right here. That's called the BookSense XT.
That's tiny. Oh,
it's tiny. That's really small.
So we're standing here recording with the BookPort Plus, and it's a lot smaller.
I won't send you away because you're using the BookPort Plus. The BookSense has some very, very clear speech, for one thing. It has a clock. Mm-hmm. It has a calculator, and one of our versions has FM radio, internal storage, and Bluetooth.
Wow.
So, you want to hear what it sounds like?
Yeah.
I'll fire it up real quick here.
Volume 21.
Okay, that's the male voice. I'm going to hold that up right there.
2:23 p.m., 22 seconds, Friday, July 20th, 2012.
And let me switch to the female voice.
Female voice. 2:43 p.m. and 30 seconds Friday, July 20th, 2012.
And that is also the voice that is used to read DAISY books, for example, or text files or BRF files. So if I...
BookSense manual, folder, 1 of 6.
If I go into the BookSense manual...
How to use the BookSense HTML manual TXT, 1 of 7.
And I'm going to press play.
Loading.
And we should be able...
File loaded. Start reading. The HTML version of the BookSense manual is divided up into both major and minor sections.
And if I press 5 or hold the 5 down...
Male voice, section... Mark, 44. Begins with a level 2 heading, and the start of each minor section begins with a level 3 heading. Heading. Further subsections begin with a level 4 heading.
This so that's what our Neo speech sounds like in our BookSense. I'm using the XT, which has internal memory, 4 gigs, and then whatever size SD card you put in the side of it.
Oh, that's very clear speech. That's very nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. To describe the unit, it's very small. It reminds me of a cell phone. It's long and thin and very, very easy to use with buttons. We also make one even smaller called a BookSense DS, which has a screen on it, and it's more available, more used, I guess, by people who have reading disabilities. But blind users do like it because it's small and the buttons are even bigger than the one that we just played. So that is our book devices or our DAISY readers.
So it's nice to know there are some options there. And as you can hear, even with the background noise of the conference, the speech was very clear. And it is a really tiny device, the smallest of the readers that I know of.
If people want to find out more about some of these products, where would they go?
If you're interested in getting in contact with us, there's a couple ways to do that. Our website is HIMS-INC, which is INC.com. Or you can call us at 888-520-4467. And if you go to our website, you'll find a lot of documentation. You'll find quick start MP3 files on our products and contact information. And you can even purchase products through our website.
And from outside the United States, that phone number would be 512-837-2000. At this point in the show, we usually have our high-tech item, but I feel funny calling it that this week because the focus item was equally high-tech. But we'll be talking about more portable Braille displays and keyboards. This segment will be about the Refresh a Braille from the American Printing House for the Blind.
Can you start by introducing yourself?
I'm Monica Turner. I'm a field service representative for the American Printing House for the Blind. We're here at the International AER Conference. We brought some of our new products.
So I noticed you had some portable Braille displays here. Can you tell us about those? We saw a number of those at the conference.
Yeah, we have Refresh a Braille 18, and it's an 18-cell refreshable Braille. It does have the 6-key entry, so you can use it for both reading and inputting. It does have a wireless Bluetooth connection, so you can use it to connect to devices such as our Braille Plus, but also to iPads, iPods, laptops, computers. Mm-hmm.
You've got the 8-dot Braille there. Do you have the 8-dot input also?
Yes.
It shows 7 and 8.
It's 5.12 inches wide.
And do you have a price on this?
This one is $16.95 plus shipping. It's about $1,700. Mm-hmm. And it is available using our quota funds.
That's pretty tiny.
Quota funds.
Nice.
Before getting into some other details about the product, let's talk about these federal quota funds. That's an interesting program. This is a federal United States program in which specialized materials are distributed for free to eligible blind students in educational settings ranging from early intervention programs for visually impaired infants to rehabilitation for older Americans who have age-related vision loss from center-based and residential school programs to the regular classroom. One of the restrictions is that you can't be in an institution of higher education, so nothing beyond grade 12. But this is a great opportunity to get very reduced price or even free equipment, and the Refresh a Braille qualifies for that. If you want more information about the federal quota funds, you should contact the APH directly for more details, and you can find out about it at their website, which is www.aph.org. While we're at it, let's give their phone numbers, which are 800-223-1839 or outside the U.S. 502-895-2405. And this Refresh a Braille is a really interesting product. If you want more information than you can handle, you can actually get their user's guide online at the APH website. And there's no www. It just starts with tech.aph.org/rbd_info.htm.
And as usual, we'll have links to all of these sites and phone numbers in the show notes associated with this show at www.viewpointsplus.net.
Here's some additional information about the Refresh a Braille 18. It works with most common screen readers, including Window Eyes and JAWS, Hawks, and Mobile Speak, VoiceOver on the Mac. You can use it with Android devices, iPhones, iPads, iPod Touches, and it also works under Linux. So that's kind of handy. It's an 18-cell Braille display, complete with cursor routing keys and scroll buttons and USB serial and HID protocol support, Bluetooth connectability, and really good energy management with their rechargeable lithium-ion battery. So this could be a really handy device.
Can you give us your contact information if people want to find out more about some of these products?
Sure. They can always get on our website at www.aph.org, or they can also email us at info@aph.org, and we can get them information, get them connected to whoever they need to be connected to, whether they have questions about a specific product, they want information about ordering or prices, and they can certainly look at our website. All of our catalogs are online, and then we have a shopping website as well that's fully accessible.
I must say, they used to talk about portable Braille displays years ago, but these new devices truly are portable. I mean, they literally fit in your hand and can squeeze into a pocket, and they were really neat to see. I was really impressed. I can picture them being quite handy for people who are on the go and just need some more portability and don't want to be lugging around a larger device.
And yet with excellent quality Braille.
Oh, yeah, they're all high-quality devices. Nice Braille that tactily felt very good, keys that were very robust and quiet to press, so if you were in a meeting room and taking notes, it wasn't very loud, and nice connectivity through Bluetooth to all kinds of different devices.
That's it for show number 1238. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll continue our discussion of portable Braille displays. This week, we spoke with vendors from HIMSS and APH, and next week, we'll talk with vendors from Freedom Scientific and Aroga, so you can hear about the competition. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.